This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're doing unthinkably good things. So if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Oh, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
For One Dry Kiss.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy, irreverent rom-com. I mean, love letters to rom-coms.
Either or. Both ways.
Where we are doing unthinkably good things in the month of Freedom July.
Oh, she's hitting the high note. Like at the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. Girl. I am here with the person who I think of as my own personal Statue of Liberty. Miss Tamara Cosio.
Oh, and I am here with the girl that fills my heart with unthinkably good things, Corinne Edding.
Nice.
Thank you. It was an easy reach for that title. It sure was.
I know you do love a good play on words.
I do. It's my weakness.
I would like to thank you, Tam, because we're starting a little bit later this evening, which gave me the opportunity to finish the second edit of our previous week's podcast so that I could give it to you.
Well, there was reason behind that, gentle listeners. I had a little bit of a health scare with Miss Mellow P.
No.
She was super uncomfortable for the last couple of days, not being able to rest, wandering around the house, just miserable as all get out, panting constantly. So I took her to the vet, found out she has fleas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Melody.
Yeah. That's a flea. Apparently all the twitching she's been doing is because her poor little legs can't reach up and scratch behind her ears. So she's just got little jingle jangle legs that are just like constantly twitching and moving. So I feel like a horrible parent, even though I gave her the little drops that she put behind her neck that are supposed to like get rid of them for a month. Lies. It's all lies.
Oh no. Well, oh my gosh, I am so glad that you figured out, though, that this was an issue, because that's something you can totally address.
Yes, and I also got her some pain meds because she did look like she was in a whole world of pain after we took her to a barbecue on Sunday, and I thought she would have a good time because she likes being around people. There was a backyard for her to wander around in. They have another dog that's pretty polite.
Yeah.
But no, she was just stressing the whole time and wandering around and not relaxing. So I think she overexerted herself. And so I got her some drogas.
Good, 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 good.
For a second, and I told Corinne this, I thought I might have to put her down, but it's still a watch and wait and see how she fares. And we're going back in about 2 weeks to get some blood work and see where we're at with her meds.
Well, that's good. And I hope by that time she's all glossy maned and flea free and glorious.
Yeah. And happy and drugged up. I will take that.
Exactly.
I'm in pain, but I don't give a fuck. It's okay with me. Like, if that's what's going to help her have a longer, happier life, then let's do it.
Yeah. Look, she has earned her sweet, sweet drugged up life.
Yes,
she has put in years.
We all would wish for that later on.
Yeah.
If it came to it. Yeah. Nothing but the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sent pictures to my sister and my niece because I was like, it might be the end. And I'm just telling you guys because you had more of a personal relationship with her before I announced it, because I don't want to have to give everybody updates. Like, I might have to. Squeesh asked for recent pictures, and I took a couple of her, and she just looked so sad and pathetic.
Aww.
And then I'm like, but here's some from when she was like happier and younger and a better time. And I swear to God, that little doggy smiling in most of the pictures I sent of her.
Aww.
And both my sister and niece were like, you gave her a good life for the last like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did I though?
Yes, you did.
I let her pee on everything.
Yes, you did. You didn't really have much of a choice about it, but
fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so Miss Tamara.
Uh-huh.
Seeing as how Miss Melope is an unthinkably good thing, or rather an unthinkably good pupper, do you have a synopsis for us?
Yes, and Corinne was good enough to wait for me even longer because I wrote it like 10 minutes ago. Way to be prepared, girl.
Yeah, that was me last week, so.
Yeah, I know. And it's not for nothing. Like, it was for good reason. And anywho, Allison, played by Karen Pittman, is living her best life in an Italian villa where she has taken a sabbatical of sorts to teach creative writing at a local Università di Italy.
Ooh.
She's at a crossroads and invites her two longtime long-distance besties, Melina, played by Joyful Drake, and Risa, played by Erica Ash, for a long-overdue girls' vacay. Little does Allison know that her girls are having some life hiccups of their own. Risa is recently retired from the military and is struggling with her inability to get pregnant while simultaneously trying to find her place in the world. While Melina has lost her cooking mojo, which is terrible for her struggling tapas restaurant.
Aww.
Over the course of the week, the girls are forced to look at the woman in the mirror and confront their friendship fears and decide which path they must ultimately take to find their own happiness. Oh, yeah. And there's also some parallel love stories with the three ladies and their hottie beaus, which they have to work out as well. Anywho, amidst all the trials, tribulations, and turmoil around love, will these ladies wind up finding the unthinkably good things in life? Stay tuned with us to find out.
Yay! Oh, I loved that synopsis. It was beautiful.
Thank you. I worked real, real hard and long on it.
I can tell.
Oh, wait. I already told you how long I did. Never mind. Okay. Corinne, do you want to jump into this mahogany Hallmark goodness that is Unthinkably Good Things?
Ooh, yes. I can't wait. Thanks, Mahogany. It's 2005 and we're in beautiful San Diego, California. But Melina and Allison, who are waiting in their open-top Jeep for their friend Risa, are not enjoying the weather. They are not frolicking on the beach. They are pissed because they came along with Risa as moral support for when she broke up with her cheating boyfriend, but it's been 20 minutes and this hasn't been a quick and dirty breakup. However, the duo is wondering if Risa and her man are up to something quick and dirty. Winky, winky. And they're kind of pissed about it.
Mm-hmm. Same girl.
Allison complains, "We should have gone to the apartment with her, or better yet, avoided the whole confrontation altogether and slashed his tires." Melina checks her friend. "This is not sophomore year of college." Allison laughs giddily. Alan was so mad. Just then, we hear Risa yelling, "Start the car! Start the car!" Risa runs up to the car, jumping in the back, and has the cutest puppy with her. She states firmly, "It's my dog, and he's going to have to sue me for custody if he wants it." They peel away, leaving Risa's now ex-boyfriend in the dust. These three women are the best of friends. They met at Spelman and have been getting into the best kind of trouble with each other ever since. They end their day of hijinks hanging out with each other and singing their signature song, Jill Scott's Golden.
Mm. You know, I had a thought after watching this. First of all, good start. Way to go, Mahogany. I was like, ooh, I'm intrigued. There's scandal. There's pupper theft. But bringing your besties for backup over a breakup is oftentimes a good idea.
Yeah.
But I have never, ever had a breakup take less than 20 minutes, especially when there's like a dog involved, like you've been together long enough to get a dog. So, and also some of it has wound up in makeup sex, which is why I was like, oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you've been there for how long?
Uh-huh.
Was there any strange noises coming from the apartment? Just asking.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. That was just kind of like, you can't be mad at her. If you got to be the bestie backups in the Jeep outside waiting, you got to be a little more patient.
I think, you know, it's not like they lived together. I don't think the puppy was originally hers. I just think she helped pick out the pupper. But
look, damn cute puppy. I would steal it too.
Uh-huh. And she deserved it. I mean, he was running around on her. And so, you know, she's supposed to quick and dirty. And I do think that she quick and dirtied. But she also managed to
got a puppy as payment.
Yes, exactly. She's like
fair exchange.
She's like, oh no, Look down here. It's my pussy. Oh, look, there's a puppy over it. No, bye.
Yeah. No, girl. She had to do it doggy style to get that doggy. Oh! That's how it went down.
Okay.
She was doing it doggy style to get the doggy. Doggy style. What rhymes with style? She went to do the doggy style to get the doggy for a while. Oh!
Hey-o!
Okay, forever. Okay, I just gotta leave that alone. Just gotta leave the wordplay alone sometimes.
Nah, never.
Anyways, 17 years later, the three women's friendship remains, but now they're separated by geography. Particularly this year, because Allison, who moved across the country over a decade ago, has been teaching abroad in Tuscany, Italy for the past year. Not only does she get to explore beautiful Tuscany, but she has a haughty Italian boyfriend, Nico, who also makes cheese.
Ooh.
Yes, please. Who likes her enough that he wants to introduce her to his mom. Her besties are coming for a visit because it's been far too long since they had some sweet, sweet girl hang time.
Aww.
Meanwhile, Risa and Melina are still living in San Diego. Risa is recently retired from the military, has another cute pupper, and a husband named Andre. They've been trying to have a baby for the past year, but so far no dice. She's not really sure what to do with herself now, but maybe she's going to start a garden and do farm-to-table meals? She's at the nursery to pick out plants with her husband when Melina calls saying, I can't go to Italy. Record scratch. What? Risa absolutely needs to find out what's going on with her friend, ditches Andre, much to his dismay, because this was her idea, at the nursery and hotfoots it over to Melina's restaurant. I could not do that to Larry. He'd be like, oh, no, we're going together. You're going to explain it to me. You can't just leave me here with the potted plant in my hand, lady.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think ditching him entirely like she did was uncalled for, but I would be ditching out of the nursery like right away. If like we were planning on going to Italy together and you're like, oh, I can't go to Italy after all, I'd be like, you just stay where you are. I will be there in 10 minutes.
There's a Corinne-shaped hole in the side of the nursery wall.
Yeah, yeah.
It turns out that Melina's restaurant is struggling. She can't take out any more loans, and she's depending on a review of her restaurant in a popular culinary magazine to help her business take off. However, the reviewer is coming while she's gone in Italy, and she needs to be there. Risa, who had been by Melina's side during her breast cancer treatment, says, you beat cancer. You can beat the situation, too. I know there's a cooking class you're planning on taking in Italy. Call the reviewer and bump their visit out by a couple of weeks. Go to Italy, take the class, get some new tricks up your sleeve, and return triumphant with delicious new Italy-inspired foods. It should also be mentioned that Melina made Risa try one of her tapas dishes, and her friend was not impressed. So is Melina just off of her game, or maybe she just not a good restaurateur?
I think she was trying, like, new things, you know? And she's like, here, try this new and exciting dish. And, you know, new and exciting dishes aren't always actually new, but sometimes can be exciting in a way that you don't want them to be.
Yeah. What is it? It's bruschetta with sardines and mint. Mm-mm-mm. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah. Okay. You can have the rest of it, Tam. Thank you.
You get the fish stank in your mouth and then the mint washes it away.
Oh.
So it's like a full cycle.
The circle of life in a bruschetta. Okay, so apparently working as a guest teacher at a college in Italy means you can afford an entire Italian villa. And if that's the case...
No. It's not like a little apartment on the campus or a freaking like house university side. No, this is a full on fucking villa.
Yeah.
In the middle of expansive like countryside. Olive vineyards. Yeah. Yes. That's rustic and probably like hundreds of years old with two stories and a fucking gate and what the fuck.
I mean, we're not jealous or anything, but it's fine.
Oh, no, I am. I'm not going to lie. I'm fucking jealous. I am fucking jealous. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to turn it down for Allison. Girl, I was just looking at you the whole time going, your problems are so hard, Allison. Like, out of everybody, like your besties, I kind of feel for them because they're actually going through some shit. But you're just like, do I go after this really good thing or this other really good thing? Like, such a dilemma. But we'll get into it. I'm sorry. I'm jumping the gun.
Not that you have any feelings. No.
No, I do. And I'm not trying to pick on her. Like, she very much has that kind of, like, maternal, like, I'm going to help you girls out. Like, I'm the sensible bestie of the three. But still, yeah, no.
Yeah, so if teaching in Italy means that you can afford to live in a gorgeous Italian villa, I need to work on getting my degree so I can make this happen, is all I'm saying.
I know. Just rub that in a little bit more. God bless.
Reese and Melina drive through the beautiful Tuscan countryside, pull up to a giant Italian villa, and are warmly welcomed by Allison. Reunited, and it feels so good. Risa and Melina are impressed with her university rental and the beautiful countryside she lives in, as are Tam and I.
University rental, yeah. Look at my university rental.
College housing like you've never seen it.
Yeah, that is one thing that always ticks me off about movies, more so now that I get older, when I see people that are like, oh, for example, Friends.
Yeah.
They work at a coffee shop and in a restaurant and have this beautiful fucking two-bedroom, like, two-bathroom loft with the view over New York. And I'm like, seriously?
I know. Giant apartment. They have a
giant apartment.
Gorgeous, gigantic apartment. Yes.
All I'm saying, it would have been more believable if Allison was in a fucking small, dank apartment with water stains on the wall and a weird-smelling cot in the corner that her university foot the bill for. That would be more believable. That would
be very sad. I wouldn't want that for her. I want more for Allison.
I wouldn't want it. I didn't say, it's not that I want it for her. I'm just saying, like, that seems to fit the bill more than where she's at. And it would still be like, would you take it? Yes, yes, I would, because it's in Italy and you're probably not paying for it and you get to experience all that Italy has to offer. Although I haven't gone to the best of institutions, so maybe I'm just pulling from my own experience and there's actually, like, higher learning places that would actually foot the bill for a nicer place than a dank studio with a smelly futon.
No, I actually think there are some different universities in particular areas that have, like, nice house, university housing and stuff like that, that they put people up in. Yeah. I don't know if it is anywhere around here, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think in cheaper areas to live than we do. So Risa and Melina are impressed with Allison's university rental villa and the beautiful countryside she lives in. Plus, Allison's got a boyfriend here. So they remark to her, you are living in heaven and have a great boyfriend. Why aren't you staying here? Amen. 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 She responds, they're waiting for me back at North Carolina at A&T. And gentle listeners, I had to look up A&T, although I'm sure Tamara already knew what it was, but
no, I was misreading it as AT&T until you graciously explained it in the notes. So I will let you continue.
Turns out it's a historically black university, the largest in the United States, which is, like, amazing. And I highly recommend looking it up on Wikipedia, because there are several interesting rabbit holes that you can go down about the college being created to keep black students out of North Carolina College of Agriculture and Mechanic Arts, and how the second, I may not be pronouncing this right, Morrill Act of 1890 was responsible for this, as well as the money to fund this was often from selling federal land that had been taken from indigenous tribes. It is a spicy topic with lots of the more you know moments to be found.
Oh my gosh.
History's complicated.
I'm glad I didn't go down that rabbit hole. I wouldn't have got anything done.
Oh, I had to stop myself. I was like, what? What? I was like, what's the second Morrill Act? Okay, and what's the... Okay, and I'm like, stop, Corinne. Back away. Back away from the Wikipedia. Anywho, all y'all, I recommend looking into it. Allison goes on to say, plus, if I left A&T, I'd have to start all over. And who starts over at our age? Her two friends give her the look, and Risa raises her hand, stating, "Me? I just retired from the military, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with myself." And Melina raises her hand, "Me too. My restaurant is only a year old. I'm just trying to figure out how to get by right now." And Corinne raises her hand. Tamara raises her hand.
We're both raising our hands. Like, bitch, please, come on. Everybody can have a midlife reroute, and you're not the only one. Don't be scared.
I mean,
Corinne.
Well, yes?
You raised your hand first. I felt like I interrupted you, even though my hand was higher. Go ahead. Oh. What is your rerouting?
Oh, okay. Look, I'm just trying to make a lucrative career as a world-famous podcaster. So far, haven't quite gotten there yet, but, you know, working on it.
Yeah. Every day getting a little bit better. By the way, the writing on this outline was super choice. I said that to her in a text, but I'm like, chef's kiss. Mwah.
Oh, thank you.
On your way to be a world-renowned podcaster. Too bad you don't have anybody to take this journey with you. If only you had a happy co-host. Oh, wait, that's me.
Yes.
Also, my midlife reroute and the fact that I went back to school at 37 to become a graphic designer.
Yes.
Yay.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I've tried life coaching. I've tried graphic designing. I've tried a lot of different things. So, yes. You know. Yeah.
The one bittersweet thing is that after having so much managerial experience, sometimes you're around managers where I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, oh my God. If it were me and I was in your position, I would do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. But I don't want to be in your position. So
yes.
Just back away, back away, back away, back away, back away.
You're like, shh. Nope, yeah. Not saying anything. Twitch, twitch, twitch. I'm fine.
Yeah. I can't be around you anymore. I gotta go.
Allison eyes her friends. Well, that may work for you, but I don't think it's for me. So, enough about me. How you two doing? Melina, how's your restaurant? Melina answers, oh, great. The restaurant is doing so good.
Girl, with your lying sardine and mint tapas, get out of here.
Seriously, gotta let go of that sardine and mint tapas. I'm just saying, it might have seemed like a good idea at the time, but it isn't now.
Sounds like an indica munchies fever dream that created that dish right there.
Well, you did say smoking weed makes everything taste better, so...
It does. It really does. If you asked me this in a couple of hours after I've had a couple of tokes, I'd be like, you know what would go really good with some mint and sardine bruschetta? Parmesan cheese.
That actually does make sense, honestly. It actually seems like something that would tie it all together. So I think that your weed fever dream is on point.
It's because it makes everything taste better. Telling you.
Oh, cheese works on everything. Thank you.
Yes, and may I remind everybody that Allison has a boyfriend who's a cheese maker.
Mm-hmm.
Makes the cheese.
Oh, the pecorino of it all.
Oh, just wait till you get to that point. I was guffawing when I read your notes about that.
Oh, Reese can tell you how good things are at my restaurant. She goes there all the time. Reese has a look of, what the fuck? Why aren't you spilling the tea on your restaurant situation look? That briefly flashes across her face, then she pulls it together. Oh, it's great. I go there all the time. One of my favorite places. She did not lie a single time. Everything she said, true. And also not actually answering the question.
Yes, I noticed how gracefully she danced around that as well.
Allison asks Risa, and how's retirement? Risa smiles stiffly, saying unenthusiastically, oh, knocking items off my bucket list. And even more unenthusiastically, spending more time with Andre. Allison asks, what's going on with you and Andre? Risa says, nothing. We just don't seem to be clicking like we used to. I'm looking forward to taking this 2 weeks away to think. Allison assures her, okay, but I'm here if you want to talk.
But it doesn't seem like none of her friends are talking to her.
No, it doesn't. And maybe it's because she's a little controlling, judgy Judgerson. And, you know, I get it.
Like I said, she's got that maternal spirit about her.
Uh-huh. I used to be like pretty judgy Judgerson. Fortunately, the older I got, the less judgy I got. And it was also something that I worked on too. But, you know, like it used to be like I would think my friends need to do everything the way I think that they should do it in life. And now I'm like, I want my friends to know I got my pom-poms out for them. And you know, and I'm here with some Band-Aids if they fall.
Mm-hmm. It was a real fun time for me too.
What?
It was when you were going through that phase of, you need to do it the way I want. Think you need to do it. And I'm like, I love you anyways, Corinne, but no.
Yeah. No. Well,
and you are not like that anymore. Like that anymore.
I've done a lot of growing, but throughout a good chunk of my teens to 20s, I was definitely like that. And I've intentionally grown, gosh darn it.
And at the same time, too, like Allison's got so much going for her. If you got a failing anything, do you really want to go to your friend that's just like succeeding at life and being like, guess how shitty things are going for me? Let's just compare our piles.
No, and then I'd be like, maybe you can just, you know, sponsor a friend to see. You're doing good.
She literally
sponsor a friend.
She literally says that. Well, I'll get into it when we get to that point, but damn it. But in the meantime, they head to Allison's school and she shows them the beautiful campus. Old buildings are surrounded by beautiful landscaped areas. It looks like a gorgeous park. However, we have one of those Hallmark on-location tunnel vision moments where Allison points at their beautiful library with expansive shelves from floor to ceiling, but we don't see it. We just see her pointing at it and have to imagine what it might look like because they don't pan over. Which kind of stinks.
I noticed that. I was like, she's like, and this is this building. And she points a direction that the camera is. Hell no, we're not going that direction.
Nope, we're just staring right at you, Allison, and friends. We need to focus on you. Just on you. Nowhere else. But who cares if we're in Italy?
They were in a beautiful location, and it was actually done in Italy, as opposed to, like, Canada, Italy.
Exactly. I just imagine there must have been like an awful parking garage right next to it or something like that. Seriously. Why they didn't pan over. I was playing the whole time like, is this really Italy? Is it? Because it was. Yeah. I looked it up. But a lot of the scenery and the outside locations like reminded me a lot of California, specifically the Central Coast. And I was like, interesting.
Well, you know, I did actually, the other day I was like, where else in the world can I live that has weather like California? Clickety, clickety, clickety. And it's all Italy. I was like, okay.
Oh. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
So guess you're going to be getting on that degree so you can get your tenureship or be able to get that expansive villa through your university so I can come visit you. Right, Corinne? Right.
You mean live with me in the villa and
right.
Yeah, and the man too. Like we're okay. He's welcome to come along for the ride as well. Yes.
I was trying to ease through the door, but if you're gonna throw it open like that, I'm done. Fair. Yeah. I'll do it. Done.
Yeah.
I'm down. Anyways, Allison's friends remarked that her campus looks like they're walking in a postcard. And Allison tells them about how she's been teaching 4 creative writing classes a day. It seems like a lot, but it doesn't feel like that. Something about living in a lavish, expensive villa for free makes you feel like you got all the time in the world, apparently. Not harping on that at all. And ever since she got to Italy, she's been writing, something she hasn't done in years. But here, she feels inspired.
Aww.
They run into Dr. DeGrado, who is one of the reasons why they're at the school, as he sent Allison a message if they could meet. Her friends step off to the side, and Allison has an impromptu meeting with the doctor. He says, I'm so glad we ran into each other. I wanted to let you know that me and my colleagues have been so impressed with you. We wanted to offer you a position teaching your creative writing class full-time for a year, although we'd love to have you longer. You have until the board meets at the end of the day next Friday.
I say yes. Yes. I accept.
Oh my gosh, Corinne, if Melody was in here, her ears would have been perking up with that scream that she just let out. That was impressive. And if we don't have an answer by then, we'll have to move on to another candidate. Allison effuses like Corinne. Oh, actually, no. She says, thank you. It's an honor. I will definitely need some time to think about it, but you'll have an answer by then. She runs to tell her friends about the opportunity. Oh, as they walk through a little market. Okay, guess she doesn't run. That was me.
Allison is a little bit more demure than I am.
It's true. It's true. Only slightly so. They're walking through a little market looking at jewelry, clothing, and other artisan vendor shops. Her friends are once again on the why the fuck aren't you staying in Italy bandwagon. Uh-huh. But Allison says, I gotta think about it and I need to check with my school. She shifts the topic. Ooh, I can't wait to take you to this boutique that I really love. Reese is excited, but Melina's acting kind of weird.
Yep.
Can we just look at cookbooks instead? Allison challenges her. What are you talking about? You love clothes. You used to be the best dressed of the three of us. Reese scoffs. No, that was me. I just didn't have the money. Allison shakes her head. Nope, it was always Melina. And here we are in the land of fashion. I can't imagine you not taking full advantage of this opportunity, Melina. But Melina's feathers are ruffled. It's fine. I'm just not into fashion anymore. I have other priorities right now, and I don't want to talk about it. She walks off to a different stand, and Allison stands in the market so confused while a doggy outfit catches Reese's eyes. Ooh, this would look so good on Sugar Ray. You know, I should start a doggy clothing line. Oh my goodness, this is perfect. I have so many ideas. Allison queries, do you even know how to sew? Reese responds undeterred. Nope, I'm going to order a sewing machine and add it to my bucket list.
Okay. Take a breath, Risa. Let's just do some centering activities right now.
Oh, my goodness. She exhausted me a little bit. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Risa was definitely untethered throughout this movie. And I was like, somebody's a little lost right now. I can tell. Oh,
I know. You could totally see it.
Yeah. Later, Nico comes over to the beautiful Italian villa to meet the besties. The foursome hangs out in the garden, sipping wine on the beautiful day.
And they're eating olives.
And they're eating olives. How dare they eat olives and not share with us?
That's why I'm hating on Allison so much, because she's living the best life that I've always wanted, Allison. Olives, wine, Italian villa.
Cheese boyfriend. Cheesemaker boyfriend.
Cheese boyfriend. And a cheese boyfriend. No, I'm really, really super happy for her. No, honestly, like, I want the best things for you, Allison. Well, yay.
When Melina's tastes the olives and she's like, oh, these are really good. Is there a little lemon on there? And when Melina tastes it and she says that, and then Allison's like, oh yeah, Nico told me about how to do that. I was like, Tamara's all, motherfucker, she has my man. I don't know how she got him, but...
No, Larry's my man. I'll make him stick some lemon juice and olives and it'll be fine.
Uh-huh, sure.
I just don't know how gracefully I can ease him into the making cheese thing.
Tam's like, so, you want to make some pecorino? He's like, no, I already got a pecorino. Thank you. I don't need to make some more.
He would so say something like that, too. Did you get a Gouda look at my pecorino?
Gouda, look. Oh. The pecorino jokes are already coming fast and furiously. Oh, love it. Anyways, Nico comes over. Risa looks over at the couple mischievously and says, I can hear Allison beaming over her phone when she talks about you. So it's so nice to finally meet you, Nico. If looks could kill, Risa would be dead from the stare that Allison is giving Risa. But Nico loves it. Melina asks, how'd you meet? And we find out that Nico makes artisanal cheeses. Well, the second week after Allison arrived in Tuscany, she goes to the food market and sees Nico's cheese stand. He offers her a taste of his pecorino. Now, I'm just going to say the only cheese they mention throughout this movie is... Pecorino. And every time I hear it, I just turn into like a 10-year-old being like, somebody said pecorino. Allison states, it was the best pecorino I've ever had. After that, I returned to his booth for more.
More pecorino?
More pecorino. Once you get a taste of that pecorino, you know, whoo. You can't go back. Nico says slyly, she claims she wanted more cheese. And I'd say she wanted more pecorino. Nico continues after my rude interruption, but she really wanted my number. He puts his arm around her. And now she cannot stay away from
my pecorino.
Mm-hmm. All right, Nico, now you're playing along too.
I know.
He's playing along with us.
Oh, Nico. Allison says, smiling, I even help out at the booth sometimes. Do you bend down to find that extra pecorino? Give him a little morale boost? I'm just asking for a friend. Melina says, you're such a good girlfriend. And Allison shakes her head. Melina asks, did I say something wrong? And then the couple, excuse me, not couple, explains that they agreed that since Allison was only going to be there for a year, that they'd date each other, but wouldn't be boyfriend-girlfriend in relationship. Because that's the way that works, right? How'd that go with you keeping things casual with Larry, Tamara?
I couldn't resist his pecorino either.
See? You just can't stay away from the pecorino, I'm telling you. Risa rolls her eyes at this. You can call a duck a frog, but it's still a duck. And all I'm hearing from the two of you right now is quack, quack, quack. And also, you can be all like, oh no, it's cool. We're not putting labels on things so we won't get hurt. You still get hurt just the same. You just don't have the label along with it.
Yeah, seriously. Just because you don't name the puppy doesn't mean you don't start loving the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I have to apologize because yesterday it sounded like a war zone. It is the 5th of July, the day we're recording, and there are still people out there boisterously setting off firecrackers.
Oh.
Yay!
Yay!
Which now in hindsight might also be why Melody was so aggravated yesterday.
Yeah.
Or that might have just enhanced her tension. All the lovely fireworks. He literally was like, it was like that. It was like 10 grand finales going on simultaneously for about 6 hours. And I was just like looking out the window every time I'd hear the explosions. I was like peering through the blinds going, what is going on out there? And Larry was just like sitting on the couch, like reading something. And I'm like, is it like this every year? And he's like, yep. And I was like, well, no wonder you spent like over a decade listening to this shit and you're used to it. And here I am like diving behind the couch with my dog. Back to the story, because it's Sunday and Melina has finally started her Italian cooking journey in the class she's taking where they're making artichoke and ricotta ravioli. Yummy.
Yeah.
She happens to be sharing a cooking station with a super hottie guy named Lucas, who's from London and is into food. He greets her by doing the little air kiss cheeky cheeky thing, and Melina immediately backs away. Lucas apologizes, explaining that that's how they greet each other in London. They chat comfortably with each other, sharing favorite foods as they knead dough. Melina asks, have you ever had sunflower artichoke turnovers? Lucas replies, no, I haven't. And Melina effuses, oh, I just love sunflowers. I Google them all the time, and one day this recipe just popped up in my search. I gave it a try, and I've been eating it ever since. Lucas says, well, I'd love it if you shared the recipe, maybe over dinner. She looks uncomfortable. Well, my schedule's kind of tight, so I don't think dinner will work out, but I'll give you the recipe. Mm-hmm. He graciously accepts her offer, and they continue cooking. And I feel like Hallmark has a type, because Lucas is giving me a little bit of the Brooks Darnell vibes. I was like, he looks like kind of Brooks Darnell with somebody else, and I just like looked at him in his IMDb and his headshots.
Uh-huh.
On his page, and I'm like, with a little Jaleel White sprinkled in, which doesn't sound great, but it works for him. And then I also had to give him a goog because his accent seemed kind of like it was British, but I didn't think he was British. I thought he was faking the accent.
Yeah, same.
But it winds up that he is
from
England, but his mom was from Granada, and so it makes sense that his accent's kind of muddled because... Yeah. She probably doesn't speak proper English, and so that's where his, like, dialect kind of twists a little bit so that it doesn't sound like 100% British.
Yeah.
Because on the Granada, even though it's a British Isle, they speak English, but also some French patois.
Oh. The more you know, bing. I did not know about the Granada. Thank you. This is, like, our most educational episode of One Dry Kiss.
Yes, so mahogany does it to us.
Yes.
Mahogany.
While Melina cooks, Risa and Allison hang out in the villa living room together. Allison says, I'm going to send Dr. Barnes an email about staying, but I'm not sure how good of an idea that is. It's just one more year, and that might make moving on more difficult. Maybe I should just cut my losses. Risa remains firm. No, you'll figure things out. Write the letter. Yes, Risa, yes. Yes, Risa, yes. Risa starts swiping through her phone and finally mentions what's kind of on her mind. You know how I said Italy looks good on you? Well, I'm thinking of moving here, just for a while, to figure things out. Allison is confused. What about Andre? What's there to figure out? Risa quickly shifts the topic. Don't focus on me. Write that letter. As a matter of fact, I've got a great way to start it. Dear Dr. Barnes.
Peace out.
Risa chuckles while Allison, who had been hoping for something more helpful, rolls her eyes. Suddenly, Risa's phone starts a-ringing. It's her hubby, Andre, and she leaves to take the call.
Did they ever come back to why Melina was being all cagey at the market?
Because she's self-conscious about her body because she had her breast removed and then replaced, and she feels like uncomfortable about herself and her sexuality.
Cue a very uncomfortable conversation where Andre's asking Risa, why are all these boxes here? What's with the deliveries? Andre pans the video chat camera so that Risa can see that the living room is now comprised of 1/3 boxes. But Risa doesn't seem to read the room. Instead, she excitedly responds, I ordered some gardening tools, a small video camera, some exercise equipment, canvases for our painting classes, and oh, a sewing machine. I'm so excited. I'm going to start my own line of doggy clothes. Andre, however, is not thrilled. And I ask, how much does this girl get from being retired military, or does she just have a shopping problem?
Maybe a little column A, a little column B.
Girl, this is where you need a man that's going to reel you in. No. Let's just focus on two, three things max and then see those through to at least a month. Like, stick with them for a month. And then if you need to, move on to the next thing. But all this scatterbrain purchasing would just drive me a banana sandwich.
If you can figure out how to reel in Risa, you just let me know.
If I was in a relationship with Risa, oh, you'd best believe that I would. I'd put my foot down so goddamn hard. No. Just because you have all this free time in the world, you are flailing so hard and fast that you're just knocking all the water out of the pool instead of making those graceful strides to the other end. Girl, you're not getting anywhere is what I'm saying.
Maybe she needs to focus on Pecorino and, you know, start making some cheese.
Andre, have you thought about cheese making with her?
Yes.
Just saying. Could be a nice sensual experience a la Ghost where they make the pottery together. Her and Andre can make the pecorino together.
Cheese pecorino.
Phallic cheese shapes. Yes. And if you put these two pieces together, you have the phallus and the ball sack. Isn't pecorino like the one with the pepper in it? It's so sad that we've been talking so much shit about the cheese,
about
and neither
pecorino,
of us are familiar enough to know. It's not pepperino, Tamara. There's no pepper in it.
Yeah,
you're just speculating wildly.
It's just sheep cheese, apparently. Hard and very crumbly.
Very hard. Okay. Anyways, back in the living room, Allison is finishing up her email request to stay another year for research reasons, but I'm guessing it has to do more with Nico Pecorino. <Da-da-da>.
I'm sorry, gentle listeners.
Allison presses send just as Risa comes downstairs and asks Allison, am I doing too much? Because Andre said I was doing the most. Allison tries to soften her response. Well, you do have a lot of interests. But Risa immediately flies to the defensive. It's called a bucket list. It's something you're supposed to do after you retire. Staying in Italy is starting to look better and better. And Risa storms into the next room. Allison takes a breath to herself. Come on, Allison. Send it. Send it. Risa shouts from the next room over. Just send it! And Allison quickly presses send before she loses her nerve, quickly clasping her hands together and praying. Please, please don't let me lose my job.
And did you notice the stairs when Risa's going down the stairs?
Oh, my God. The stair with no rails?
Yes. Those are danger stairs.
That's one thing that made me think momentarily that they weren't in Italy because the inside of these villas and houses that they were filming in were very modern.
Yeah, very contemporary.
And a lot of times with those villas, you can't make them contemporary because they're so old school that it would be really, really hard. So I was hoping to see more like kind of historical or older touches, and they were just like super revamped. So
yeah, super modern. And oh, hey, you know what's a great idea? Let's have stairs without a railing. That's perfect. Danger stairs.
I'm like, I would die. Die.
Throughout the movie, I was like, danger stairs.
Yeah. My boss isn't the best at renovations, and my office is on the second floor of the building I work at, and some of the stairs are not the same size. Corinne can attest to that. And there have been many an afternoon when I'm walking up there going, I'm the only one in the building. If I fall down these stairs, how long would it take for somebody to find my mangled body at the bottom if I get knocked unconscious?
Look.
And that staircase has a rail. Still almost fell down them a couple of times.
I'm just going to let you know that my parents, they have fall monitors that they wear now. And I think we can get you onto their plan so that you can wear one around your neck.
Right. They're not connected, are they? Because like, I would not want to freak your parents out if my fall monitor goes off and they get like the message. If then, you know, like all the, your mom knows when your dad knows when your mom falls, and they both know if I fall.
They care about you, Tam.
Oh, I know, but I know I'd be like accidentally setting that thing off religiously, like a bad fire alarm at school. I'd be like, oops, I accidentally yanked it off my neck and now I can't find it. It's somewhere under my desk, and your parents are freaking out, like trying to call the police on my behalf. Hundreds of miles away.
No. We just go to meet. And it says, fall detected. Press this button if you're not actually falling, you know. So, yeah.
And I also listen to podcasts and music very loud in my office. So I probably wouldn't hear the fall detected. Or I think it was like a new beat mixed into like the recut of some whatever song I like that I'm listening to. Fall detected. Fall detected.
It's ODK's new jam, Fall Detected.
For our geriatric asses, because you know we would die on those stairs.
Come die, out die, to die. All the clubs. It's gay now.
And now, sponsored by AARP
and Asper Cream.
Fall Detected. The remix. Asper Cream can sponsor the deep cut.
Also, hamster balls to keep you safe even when there is a fall detected.
Hamster ball?
Yes, hamster balls.
Oh my God. You don't need walkers or wheelchairs or any of that shit. Just put yourself in a big old hamster ball in your retiring ages and you'll be fine.
There you go.
Think that hamster ball would go down those armless stairs in that Italian villa just in case you get your tenure and get sent over there, Corinne?
I don't care what would be happening. I'd be putting up like, I'd be rigging some baby gates or something to keep us safe.
Just be covered in bubble wrap.
Seriously. The next day, Melina tells Risa that in spite of the magazine saying that Melina could put off the food critic's visit for a couple of weeks, Joseph Tate, the food critic, will be visiting Tapas, Melina's restaurant, with the most unoriginal name. Can we just take a moment to say your Tapas restaurant is named Tapas? Really?
Wow. Very meta.
I know. I was like, I really enjoyed this movie for the most part, and I thought it was pretty good. I may not have always agreed with choices or whatever, but the one thing, Tapas, that's Melina, this is your, like, I'm starting over. I'm going to open a Tapas restaurant. Ooh, what you going to call it? Tapas? Oh, well then, I'm going to open a restaurant as well. What you going to call it? Food. Thank you.
Well, you know what? I'm going to start my own tapas restaurant to rival your tapas restaurant. Oh. I'm going to call motherfucking Pecorino.
Ooh.
How about that?
Oh, fine. See if I care. I'm good. I don't feel inferior now or anything. So when Melina, who sadly does not have a tapas restaurant named Pecorino, finds out that the critic is going to be coming, she tells Risa, I got to go back home. Risa encourages Melina to stay. Let Eileen, the manager, handle it. Melina sheepishly informs Risa, I can't. Eileen quit because she wanted a raise and I couldn't afford to give her one. Now I have Edward and he hasn't been there long enough for me to trust him. I'm just going to have to leave on Friday. I'm sure Allison will understand. Risa is not on board with her plan, but doesn't have a chance to say anything because Allison comes in excited for another date with her besties. Woo! Well, mainly hanging with Risa because as soon as Allison enters the kitchen, Melina quickly grabs her bag and scoots on out of there, yelling over her shoulder, gotta go to cooking class. Meet you at the vineyard later. Allison sits down at the table with Risa and checks in with her. Are you ready to talk about what's going on with you and Andre? Risa confesses, ever since I retired, I created this list of stuff for the both of us to do. But Andre doesn't seem interested, and I'm beginning to wonder if we are even close to being on the same page. Allison suggests, you need to talk to Andre about how you're feeling. Huh, what kind of rando advice is that?
Mm.
Express what's going on inside thine own heart? No. Obviously, you should just get another hobby. But Risa, who really likes to avoid confrontation, swiftly changes the topic.
Now, in regards to this little section, I have to say that I kind of agree with Melina. Because a lot of times when you have a chef that is working at a restaurant and you got a critic or somebody that's like food related coming in, the chef wants to be there.
Yeah.
Like, because it's usually them that draws in the crowd, not just the menu or, you know, the food that they have. So I was kind of a little torn when she was like, you just stay and give that newbie guy free reign over your restaurant. Just hope it's okay. And I'm like,
I don't blame Melina for wanting to leave. I also don't blame her friends for giving her the advice that they do as well. So, like, you know, I see both sides.
I would be doing it for purely selfish reasons. Oh, no, Corinne, it's going to be fine. Just trust your employees. And secretly, I don't want you to go, but it's going to be fine. Anywho, across town, Melina and Lucas are shopping in the outdoor market before class getting supplies. They're both chefs and bond over cooking. Lucas laments, my dad is a chef and I'm a chef, but sadly my daughter isn't interested in following in our footsteps. She wants to be a makeup artist. Of course she does, because she's what, in her tweens, 20s? Probably wants to be an influencer too. He pulls out his phone proudly, showing a picture of his daughter, Noelle. He states, it's just been me and her for the past 10 years since my wife died. Noelle's my baby, even though she's turning 21. Melina admires her photo, commenting that he must be really proud of her, and he smiles, nodding. Melina effuses, I'm so glad I came here. Taking this class is getting me back to when I used to play with all different kinds of ingredients and seasonings. Once I opened up my restaurant, I didn't have the time to experiment like I used to. Oh, girl, I feel you so hard. Working on my graphic design portfolio while I work 8 hours a day in that fucking office is just brutal. Melina, I feel you. They stop at the spice vendor's stand looking at their lists. Lucas challenges her. Let's get those experimentation juices going once again. That sounds kind of dirty and I'm all for it. How about you get the spices on your list and then 3 additional ones that you haven't tried before to work with as well? Melina smiles. Challenge accepted. Lucas, emboldened by his win, creates another challenge. Okay, here's another one for you. How about the first one to get all 6 of their spices takes the other one to dinner? And I'm like, shouldn't it be the loser who takes the other person out?
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, oh no, I simply can't find a single spice. And my hands seem to not be working at the moment. And I'm feeling a little faint. I need shade, a cool beverage, and potentially some gelato.
Yes.
That hot chef guy will be taking me out to dinner.
Seriously. Lucas, I don't think you really understand how this whole thing worked.
You see, I don't know how competition is in England, but here, like, you want the loser to buy dinner. Not the other way around.
What is this green, minty-smelling herb? Oh, I think it must be sage. Yeah, I don't know. I can't possibly find the mint that I actually want. How is this happening? Guess you're just going to have to take me out to dinner.
Shucks, shucks. However, Melina has a different perspective. Are you asking me out for a second time? He responds slyly. Well, only if you're saying yes. And then because Melina is apparently very interested in paying for dinner, she accepts the challenge. Amateur.
Oh. Later that afternoon, Melina, Risa, Allison, and Nico go to Nico's cousin Mario's vineyard for a wine tasting.
Mario. Sorry, couldn't help myself. It's a me, a Mario.
Where's a Luigi? While the crew waits with the rest of the wine tasting group, their guide talks about the history of the land. Allison and Nico stand cozied up next to each other, listening. Risa frantically takes notes as if she's going to be tested, and Melina isn't paying attention at all. She is furiously typing away on her phone. Allison quietly asks Melina, "Hey, what's going on?" But Melina feigns innocence. "Oh, just some work. I'll put my phone away. Cool, cool, cool. Nothing to see here. Am I right?" The group goes into a cave for the tasting, and while Risa holds court with some strangers talking about how to taste wine through using the olfactory senses. Oh, Risa, you know those people who are like, "I know everything."
Mm-hmm. Do you? Do you?
Yes, the olfactory senses. Allison gets introduced to Nico's cousin Mario and his wife Amelia. Not Nico's wife, but Mario's wife. Nico isn't married. He just is he has one pecorino for one woman, and that is Allison.
Okay. All right.
Mario and Amelia are warm, welcoming, and don't think that Allison should leave. They mention meeting up with them again tomorrow for the hunt, and I'm assuming that's when Allison is supposed to meet Nico's mom. When Nico and Allison are alone, she confesses that she's terrified of meeting his mom, but he assures her, or as I said, assurances her, that his mom is lovely and welcoming, and Allison has nothing to worry about. Allison is dubious and tells Nico that she's going to look for Melina because she can't find her anywhere in the tasting room.
And she can't find her because she's outside talking fiercely on the phone about menus and ingredients. Allison comes out and Melina once again tries to play it cool, 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 nonchalantly getting off the phone and acting relaxed. Oh, yeah, yeah, just thought I'd get some fresh air and take care of a little business. Allison gives her the eye. What is going on, Melina? And she confesses. Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to leave on Friday. The reviewer of Taste of Town is coming to my restaurant on Monday, and I need to be there to make sure everything goes smoothly. Allison pish-poshes her. Seriously? You're the boss. Delegate. Melina argues, if I'm not there, I might not get a 5-star review. If I don't get all 5 stars, just like one dry kiss needs all the 5 stars and really nice review ratings too. Thanks, peeps. My restaurant is sunk. Getting a good review can double or triple her business. But none of her friends seem to care. Go ahead, tank it. Tank it, girl. It's going to be fine. Then you could stay in Italy forever. Risa comes strolling up enthusiastically. Ladies, I just bought a book on becoming a sommelier. Allison holds up her hand, silencing Risa, and says sternly, "The Melina I knew would already have bought a frame for the 5-star review." Melina gestures with her finger. "That Melina was naive, and this one has been through a lot. Tapas is the only thing I have, and it needs to be successful. I put everything into that restaurant, and I could lose everything with the bad review. Tell him, girl. Tell him." Melina storms off, and Allison is left thinking, what the fuck is going on with my friends? Just as they're thinking, why the fuck isn't Allison staying in Italy?
I fully support Risa becoming a sommelier and stretching her olfactory senses. However, becoming a sommelier is a lot of work, and it's not easy.
You're preaching to a girl who drinks her wine out of a box. So, yeah. I second that.
So what you're saying is you're going to stretch your olfactory senses and also become a sommelier as well, yes?
Oh, yes. When I drink my wine, I'm like, I detect notes of cardboard and plastic baggie because that's what the wine is held in. And aww, potentially some bologna that was sitting on top of the box in the fridge.
Oh, I see you like to have some little aperitifs along with your fancy boxed cardboard wine. Nice.
No, I don't, but it just happens sometimes. Oh. It's okay. The old factory sensories seeping through the box.
Nice. You're so finely tuned. That's what I love about your olfactory senses.
I could be the cheap sommelier. Cheap-ass sommelier. I can't tell you where this wine originated from, but I can tell you what it was sitting next to in your refrigerator and why it tastes weird now.
This bottle of Two Buck Chuck has been infused with the Eau de Salami. So it's a really, like, pretty fancy.
And this one has notes of Pecorino to bring it all back around.
It all comes back around. Speaking of it coming back around, okay, the hunt? Because I was very curious when they're like, we'll see you tomorrow at the hunt. I was like, what kind of a hunt are they fucking going on? It's a truffle hunt. So Allison and Risa are getting ready for the truffle hunt together. And Allison says, what's going on with Melina? I don't understand. Risa brings out the more you know star and explains a few things to Allison. Allison, you can be pushy and judgy. And your family motto is probably the same as let's go to courts, Kristen. You're not judging me. I'm judging you. And also, Melina's business is failing. The more you know. Ding. While Allison defends herself a bit, she just wants the best for her friends. And she was blindsided by Melina because she was completely out of the loop, which I understand that, you know, being completely blindsided by something and then reacting poorly. Risa holds firm, telling Allison, you need to apologize to Melina. I'm going to go look at an apartment to possibly stay in. And here's the outfit you should wear to the truffle hunt. Because Risa's a multitasker. If anything, she does know how to multitask. Allison is about to say something, but Risa shuts her down. Support, don't judge. Now get ready so we can go hunt some truffles. Risa and Allison head to the farm, and Allison explains to Nico that Melina will be meeting up with them later as she's coming after class. Allison and Nico's mom greet each other warmly, and Nico's mom says, with a smile, you make Nico happy, and that makes me happy. Yay!
Good mama. You make his pecorino happy.
It's after class, and Lucas is driving Melina to the farm. On the drive, they lightly flirt with each other, and it's really sweet. Even more sweet is Lucas has taken her on a slight detour and pulls up alongside.
Does he kill her? Is that what you're saying? He kills her?
I mean, I'm not saying, but I'm not saying. What does Lucas pull up alongside? And is this where Melina's journey ends in our movie? Find out after the break. And we're back. What does Lucas pull alongside? Not a ditch that's 6 feet long and 5 feet deep, but a sunflower farm. Melina is delighted. I know. Super cute. She gets out of the car gleefully exclaiming, sunflowers are the best. No matter how crappy the weather is, they always turn their heads towards the sun. She, I'm guessing, illegally picks some sunflowers and is dropped off just in time to hear Risa declare to Nico, I just tasted your pecorino and it changed my life.
Hey, now that's your girl. That's your girl's man. You better stop it.
Very interesting.
Quit that pecorino tasting. Yep. Nope. It's not that kind of movie. Oh, and then everybody gathers for the truffle hunt, and their guide, who has a couple of dogs, says, when you see the dogs stop and start to dig, they've likely found a truffle. Get in there and get it before they run off with it. It's just that simple. Actually sounds kind of complicated, but what do I know? Nico adds, whatever team gathers the least truffles has to cook dinner. Ding, ding, ding. Time to truffle hunt. After the hunt, each team brings back about 5 pieces, but Team Nico, Nico's mom and Allison, they only got one. But turns out that's by design, as Allison helps her cook dinner, Nico's mom confesses, I lose every year on purpose because I prefer to cook dinner. She then explains, I think of truffles as the food of love.
Aww.
Allison is intrigued, why? And Mama responds, they take a little patience to mature, and they require a partner. Without the tree's root nourishing the soil, the truffle will die. There's one more comparison I've forgotten, but it will come. And with that, dinner is ready. Everybody's gathered at the table, eating, when Mama Nico turns to Allison, whispering, I remember, Truffles are a lot like love because they can easily be overlooked. She glances in her son's direction. You could be standing right on top of one and not even realize it because you're not looking in the right place.
Aww.
Allison ponders this and turns to her beau, who's sitting on the other side of her. He looks at her, asking, "Are you okay?" She smiles back. Oh yes, I'm just enjoying this moment with you and your family and my friends. It's perfecto. They bask in each other's presence, but not for long. A reminder goes off on her phone, and she has that video conference with Dr. Barnes at A&T to find out about her job. She gets up, and he wishes her luck, but they're both hoping that she can stay another year. But when she meets with Dr. Barnes, he lets her know that she's needed back at AT&T, stat! I mean, A&T. And they're offering her the job as the chair of the English department. Dr. Ghazi's retiring early and he thinks she'd be a perfect fit. This would give her tenure, a.k.a. teacher gold. Yay! And I would be at a fucking loss here because I'm like, oh my God, tenure and teaching at a university and like stability versus fucking Italy and villas and hot Italian guys making cheese. I don't know. I'd be torn.
Uh-huh. Pecorino. Lemony olives. Yeah, the land of olives. Super torn.
Yeah, you can get them imported though, Corinne. It's not like you can only get olives in Italy. That might sway my decision, but you can buy them at Trader Joe's. Stuffed with garlic and they're delicious.
I'm sure that the ones in Trader Joe's are just as good as the ones in Italy. Sure. Yeah, you keep on
telling
yourself
that. Well, if I don't know any better, then if I don't know what I'm missing, then I'll just be perfectly happy eating my Trader Joe's olives, living in a lie.
So what you're saying is you don't want to go to Italy with me? Okay.
Well, I'm just saying it'll probably ruin me on olives and I'll hate you forever when I can't find them anywhere else except for Italy.
Anyways, the next day, Allison takes her besties on a hike to some ruins. When they reach their destination, we have a major, it's time to spill the beans moment in the movie. Allison lets her friends know that she's been offered the position of chair of the English department at A&T. Allison also spills the beans about Risa potentially staying in Italy, which spins Melina's head and causes her to ask, what about the baby? Which excitedly spins Allison's head. Risa clarifies, there's no baby and currently there's no apartment and I'm not leaving Andre. We've just been trying for a baby for so long and I'm tired. I need a break from it all. Plus, he is refusing to take painting classes and tells me that I need therapy. Can you believe that? Not at all, Risa. No therapy needed there. Melina and Allison make eye contact with each other that says, yes, we can believe that. But what they say is that she needs to talk with Andre. Let's try a little bit of communication about what's going on with her. Allison shakes her head at her friends. Since when did we start keeping all these secrets?
I feel like you're beating that Andre communication point to death, much like I was beating the how the fuck did she get that villa in Italy point to death. We all have our hills that we want to die on. That's all I'm saying.
Sometimes you just need to talk it out. Just saying. That's way more easily solved than getting yourself an Italian villa.
Shaking my head sadly. No.
It's a few hours later. The besties have changed and they are in town. Melina and Risa wait while Allison meets with Dr. DeGrotto to inform him of the choice that she's made.
I don't want you, Italy. I don't want you.
I don't want you, your villa, your hunky boyfriend.
Your olives.
The pecorino.
Your cheese.
The olives.
My God.
None of it. While they wait, Melina lets Risa know that Lucas has asked her out twice. Risa immediately grabs her phone and says, we're texting him and making sure this happens. Melina waffles, but I have nothing to wear. Risa raises her eyebrows. Really? You don't think Allison will fix that? Please. There's a lot of ways that Risa is a really good friend because she like pushes Allison to like send that fucking letter to the dean of the department. She like, you know, mm-hmm. She has these different things that where she pushes her friends in the exact way that they need to be pushed.
Right. And part of me is like, Reese is a good friend. And the other part of me is like, she's just bored and going, squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. Need the next like point of excitement. I need some action. I need something to happen. I can't just stand here and have us all like just be chill.
Look, when you're on a squirrel on cocaine, there's only so much that you can do, okay?
I think this is like the third episode where we've mentioned animals on cocaine.
Maybe we should just rename our podcast Animals on Cocaine.
Or just make it a whole theme for a month.
Oh, gosh.
On cocaine.
It's like Cujo, Pet Cemetery.
No. Bad idea. I retract that. Cut that, Corinne. Because you do the edits. And the next thing we know, they're in Allison's favorite fancy clothes store. There's a bit of a montage, but it's pretty short. And Melina comes out wearing a dress that Corinne thinks might be worn to a black tie affair and not a first date. It's kind of off-white, sheer goldeny, completely in sequence. And it's an evening gown to behold. I like it. Corinne does not.
I'm not saying I have a problem with it. I'm just saying, like, if I showed up to any of my first dates wearing that, the guy would be looking at me in his jeans and a t-shirt and being like, what's going on here? Is there a camera somewhere?
Okay, well, Melina asks, you don't think it's too fancy? Corinne answers, yes, it is. And Tamara says, no, it's just fine. Although you look like a walking Academy Award, it's good. It works on your girl. It's totally fine.
She looks great in it.
She does.
Yes.
She just pulls it off. And we say, yes, yes, we do. But Risa and Allison beg to differ. No, it's perfect. It's the perfect dress. We don't see Melina's date, but we do see that Lucas is wowed by the dress and not thinking, what the fuck are you wearing, girlfriend? This is casual attire dining. But he's fortunately in a jacket and a button-down shirt, so they're kind of comparably dressed. Night has fallen, and Nico and Allison sit on a bench in front of Nico's farmhouse, surrounded by twinkle lights. But instead of a sweet romantic evening, Allison is breaking the news that she's going back to the States. Nico gives her another proposition. Stay here. You can write and teach part-time. You've told me that's what you've always wanted to do. Allison feels conflicted, and Nico isn't helping. Don't do that, Nico. You don't understand. That is what I wanted, but after I married Lionel, I worked full-time to pay for his law school, and when he left, I had nothing. I vowed that I would never be in that position again. I had to go back to work and school to get any kind of equilibrium in my life. You're not going to understand this, but when you're a black woman, it takes extra clawing and scratching and many sleepless nights just to get here, and I cannot sacrifice that for anyone. Nico looks soulfully into her eyes. You're right. I'll never understand what you've been through, but you deserve more, and your dream deserves a chance.
Aww.
Allison steels herself, looking off into the distance. I want to enjoy the time we have left, but I'm not staying here. I can't. And she gets up and walks away. Corinne writes, oof, brutal. And I write, oof. That is why I'd be so torn about not taking that 10-year instability, girl, after you've been through so much.
Mm-hmm.
You have a sure thing right in the palm of your hands, and you're going to bat it away. And that is a better person than me, because I don't think I'd be able to do it.
But the thing is that when she's being in Italy, she's like, her creative juices are flowing. And so she's actually like, creating and doing stuff, whereas before she wasn't. However, I also totally get Allison's point about the security of it all. I mean, Lord knows I'm hanging on to this apartment for dear life. Like, I'm all, it's rent controlled. Twitch. I can't move anywhere. It's rent controlled.
That's exactly why I was like, Larry, I'm moving in with you because rent control. I'm like, you're going to cut my rent in half. It's going to be glorious.
Yes. Throughout the movie, Melina has been essentially wearing coveralls, overalls, khaki, and denim. But today, she comes out in a stylish outfit with a flowing pant, super cute pants, and a colorful top. She is radiant. She thanks Allison for the makeover. She really needed it. And Allison, in turn, apologizes to Melina, saying that she should trust that Melina knows what's right for her. Yay, Allison! The trio goes out to breakfast, and as they sit in front of a cute little breakfast spot on a cobblestone road, Risa lets her friends know that she's going to tell Andre about the apartment she got. What? She got an apartment? Oh my gosh. She's going to take painting classes, wine tasting classes. It's going to be 6 months of her eat, pray, reset. 6 months, motherfucker. That's more than a reset from someone you're married to. Hello?
That's a separation.
If I had a partner who went off to Italy, they were like gone for 2 weeks, like
they're supposed to be gone for 2 weeks. I'd be like, okay, have a great time. And then they were like, I actually need more time apart. I'm going to be gone for 6 months. I'd be like, I was okay with like a relationship. Maybe we needed to communicate about some things, but it was 6 months.
And I'm reactivating my Tinder account.
Okay. Melina points out that Andre may not be into her doing this, you think? But Risa pish-poshes her. Are you kidding? He'll be glad to have me out of his hair. Melina turns to Risa, saying, okay, but when you talk to Andre, please just be open and listen to him. Risa rolls her eyes. She's sure everything is going to be just fine and shifts the topic to Allison. And this is where, much to her friend's chagrin, Allison basically states that she's giving up everything for security. Melina encourages her to continue writing, but Allison says, the biggest bunch of bullshit I've ever heard. If I was meant to be a writer, I'd already have written a book by now. Fuck that shit. I'm sorry. If I was meant to be an artist, I would already be in museums by now. That's not how it works. Sadly. I'm Dr. Allison Cooper, tenured chair of the English department. Her face is flat and her eyes don't sparkle like they did when she was talking about her creative writing students, several of whom wrote her letters of how her course changed their lives. Melina gives Allison an empty cheers, raising her mimosa and the three clink glasses, but all three women don't look super happy.
Yay, besties trip. All right. Yay. But hey, they're going to a museum next, so that should be a good time, right? Right? As Risa and Melina look at the art, Allison is typing away on her phone with desperation, quite similarly to how Melina was at the winery. Risa tries asking her to connect. Hey, I know you've already been here with Nico, but can you pretend to look at the art with us? Allison's a little wound up. Sorry, work keeps texting, and she keeps clicking away on her phone. Risa doubles down. I get it, but we just want to spend time with you. Melina affirms, yeah, Allison, it's my last day here. And Allison bites back. Well, you cut your trip short. Oof. And you know the perfect place to have an argument? A museum. Well, really, the perfect place is a library. The second most perfect place is a museum. Both of which I think you might get kicked out of if you make too much noise. Melina states, I thought you weren't upset at me. And Allison irritatedly responds, I'm not, but don't make me feel guilty about working. Melina points, that was Risa. And Risa triples down. You know you're not going to be happy going back. Allison gives Risa the scary eyes. I have a prestigious promotion, a corner office, and tenure. Tenure! Risa agrees, yes, and all of that isn't going to make you happy. You're scared of taking a risk, but you're happy here. You have a really nice, good guy, and well, forget about the guy. In Italy, you have the space to create that you need and the classes you take joy in. Oh, she's breaking it down and giving it for real. Mm. But Allison narrows her eyes. You don't get it. I can't just leave everything behind to follow whatever whim my heart wants. Staying here doesn't make sense. Doesn't it, though? Risa earnestly states to Allison, I just want you to be honest with yourself. And Allison, who has the entirety of the museum patrons staring at her, raising her voice, honest with myself? Well, isn't that the pot calling the kettle black? Because you two have not been honest with me since you've been here. Melina is confused. Excuse me? You two? Allison hisses. Risa told me about your business and it's failing, and I warned you about opening up a restaurant. It wasn't practical and now you're in debt. Allison turns to Risa. And you! You're running around doing everything when you don't even know what you're doing. Melina says it too. I don't want to hear from either of you what I should be doing when the both of y'all's lives are in chaos. And with that, Allison walks off in a huff. In a huff!
In a huff!
Risa turns to Melina. So you think I'm doing too much, huh? I don't want to hear it. I'm going to go meditate. And Risa walks off in a huff. A smaller huff than Allison, but still a huff nonetheless.
In a huff.
And Melina is left in the museum, all full of, what the fuck? The only one of the three that has had her full Italian transformation is living in her truth. She calls half-heartedly after Risa, but it's my last day, because all she wanted to do was spend some quality time with her besties, and then this happened.
Oof. Ah, Risa tries meditating in the park with a meditation group, but she is a hot mess, and it is not working. Ultimately, she gives up grabbing her yoga mat and leaving. Allison has gone to the outdoor market to persuade Nico that they can do long distance. Twitch, twitch, twitch. They really can. She just can't let go of his pecorino. However, she waits in line behind his customers. Her phone dings, reminding her that she has her meeting with the A&T board. She hustles back to her villa, taking a centering breath, and clicks the link for the video conference. Four people pop up on the screen. Whoop! To interview her for the position. The first woman, who is wearing a motherfucking pussy bow. What?
Aren't you so glad I gave you that definition, Corinne?
The more you know, the more you know, the more you know.
The more you know, pussy bow, pussy bow.
Asks Allison why she wants the position. Allison stammers and the woman doubles down. Surely you know why you want this position. What are you passionate about? Allison stares off into the distance, and I can't tell if she's finally taking a look at the woman in the mirror, or she's distracted by the woman's pussy bow,
or she's distracted by the pecorino.
Oh, I'd be distracted by Nico's pecorino, that's for sure.
Nico Pecorino.
Oh, no. Sorry, Italian listeners.
My full name is a Nico Pecorino.
So sorry, Italian listeners. Since Melina's friends are currently in the midst of their own chaos, she hits up Lucas and she hangs out at his place. After cooking some tasty food together, Lucas leans in for a kiss, but Melina pulls back. Lucas immediately apologizes for overstepping, and Melina explains that ever since she was sick, she's been reluctant to be in a relationship with someone. She says, "I don't know if I'll get cancer again. I don't want anyone to feel obligated to care for me or stay with me if they don't want to. Ugh, that would suck." Lucas gazes at her softly. "You know, my mother was diagnosed with cancer when I was 16, and my dad took care of her. She was supposed to live for a year, but she lived for 3, and part of that was because of my dad's love. What I've learned is that nothing is guaranteed, and that love should never be taken off the table." They move in closer and closer, and they kiss, and it's really sweet. After their kiss, Lucas goes to the kitchen counter and grabs a small book stating, "I need you to put that recipe that you just cooked in here for me." Melina looks at the book impressed. "You have a cookbook?" Lucas chuckles. "Not quite. When I graduated from culinary school, my dad put all my recipes in a book for me." Which I was like, that's the sweetest thing ever. He says that every chef has a cookbook and that this is mine. So whenever I get in the bad headspace and think that things aren't going to work out for me, I look back at my cookbook and I think, "You're a chef and I know everything is going to be all right." Suddenly, Melina's brain hamster, that had been working too hard on its hamster wheel for too long, suddenly comes to a stop. Everything comes together for Melina, and she is inspired. She says to Lucas, "I'm gonna need your help with something."
And he sweeps everything off the table and props her up on it and starts grinding on her while he kisses her passionately. You gotta sing that Jill Scott song.
Oh. "I'm living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, golden."
And we don't know, and we don't find out what that is right away because we're too busy watching them two bump and grind on the table. I'm just kidding. Nope. Because then we see Risa standing in her apartment in Italy, finally calling Andre. It's so funny, too, because at one point in the movie when she was trying to convince Allison to stay in Italy, and Allison's like, "No, I can't." And Risa's like, "That's too bad because I wanted to stay with you instead of having to buy my own apartment outright."
Or get my I was like, that sounds like something I would say.
Me too. I was like, yeah, girl, that'd be me. I'd be like, "Oh, so you got this big old villa all by yourself over here. How many rooms is it, by the way? Just asking for a friend."
Yeah.
Andre greets her with 8 words any partner in love wants to hear. "That you were done talking to me."
Oof.
But he immediately warms up to her, letting her know that her sewing machine arrived. And catching that she seems off, he asks her, "What's wrong?" Risa explains that her besties were talking about her, saying her life was in chaos, and Andre sucks his teeth. Flips the camera around on the phone and shows her all the boxes in the living room creating chaos and says, "Sometimes our friends tell us things that we may not want to hear, but need to hear." And then they finally get to the heart of the matter. Andre expresses worry about her, saying that she seems anxious all the time now, and Risa pours her heart out. "I don't feel like you want to do stuff with me anymore, and you don't want me around." Andre responds, "Of course I want you around, and I want to spend time with you as well. However, I have a job and can't just drop everything to hang with you." Risa tears up. I don't know what to do. I thought I needed time, and now I don't know. I'm looking at an apartment right now. I thought it would be the answer, but now it doesn't feel right. Andre reels, an apartment?
Yeah.
So what are you saying, babe? Risa responds, what if I can't get pregnant? Will you still want me? Andre responds, yes, I'll still want you. I'll always want you. She chokes up. I just wish you were here. And the screen fades to black. Oof, my goodness. Friday, Friday, Friday. The next morning, Risa and Melina meet up for coffee, and Risa is serene? What? She lets Melina know that she's used to feeling important, and now she doesn't feel that way at all. Also, she meditated in a field with a bunch of strangers. It's amazing what you realize when you block out all the noise, so apparently meditating in a field is more powerful than meditating in a park. Go figure. Melina lets Risa know that she's not going home. She realizes that she needs to let go and let God and trust her team. That way she can start having some fun in the kitchen again. The two besties are feeling much better, but then Melina asks, do you know where Allison is? I've been trying to reach her. Risa doesn't. They go back to the villa, even run up and down the danger staircase, but no Allison. They call Nico, and he hasn't been able to get a hold of her either, but he saw an early morning post for her. He takes a look at it, and she's at the Canale Montaranos Church. The besties from the villa and Nico from the farm doodle-doo-doo, to Canale Montaranos Church, which is like, if they know where she's at and she's filming something at this location, like, why are they rushing there like her life's in danger, girl? That's one thing I didn't understand. I'll meet you there. Okay, why?
They gotta talk to her. And now, stat. That's why.
Or you could just wait till she comes home. That's all I'm saying.
Too much stuff is, they need to share. It's the bestie share.
Okay.
All of the stuff has transpired. Risa and Melina arrive at the church, which is actually some really cool looking ruins, once again. They yell around looking for Allison and eventually finding her, and she's like, you guys were worried about me? What? You only haven't seen me since I blew up on the both of you yesterday afternoon. Why wouldn't you be worried?
Well, I would say the same thing, but a Corinne looked at me like I'm crazy when I did, so.
If you blew up on me and you yelled at me in a museum in the afternoon yesterday and I couldn't find you for...
Where were they at the whole night? Like, did they not see her? Did she exit the villa and not go home at all? She spent the night in the ruins? What happened?
I don't know. Apparently.
I love how they glossed over that.
She was M.I.A.
She was hiding under the danger staircase like, are they gone yet? Okay, now I can come out.
Seriously. I live my life without rails. What?
Oh, that's how I rail.
The trio has a lovely conversation where Allison finally admits that her heart isn't in being the chair of the English department of A&T, and she froze during the interview. Risa confesses that the reason why she's been so scattered is because her chakras haven't been aligned.
Of course,
obviously. But also confesses that she retired so she could have a family, but now does not know what to do with herself, particularly since she's been having a hard time getting pregnant. Allison has the situation on lock. Oh, I know a bunch of great fertility doctors. We will get you your family. Don't you worry. And I'm shouting at the TV. There are lots of different ways to have kids in a family that don't all need to be biological.
But see, I want it to be a little piece of me and a little piece of Andre because we love each other so very much.
Yeah. There are lots of children that need love. Just saying.
Oh, I know.
The trio starts heading back to the parking lot when Melina stops them. She reaches into her bag and pulls out a book, handing it to Allison. Remember how you said if you were really an author, you'd have a book by now? Well, here's your book. Allison looks at the cover, which says, Unthinkably Good Things by Dr. Allison Cooper. In it, Melina has written the posts that Allison has made since she's been in Italy, which are more like poems. Melina points out that there are pages for her to add to, and then has Allison turn to the back page. Allison reads, Fall in love with your fresh start. She looks up questioningly. Did I post that? Melina responds, No, but that's what you always used to say to us. Suddenly, the hamster in Allison's head that had the murder board out and was trying to desperately connect the red pieces of thread to a tenured life at A&T steps back from the board, and the pictures of being head of the English department and tenure fall off the board, revealing the life that she had been living all along in Italy. Allison's face dawns with realization, and she finally says, Oh, I can't go, can I? Risa and Melina hug her, murmuring, no. They step out into the parking area, and much like Tamara and Corinne, have the Bengals' Eternal Flame as their song. This bestie trio has Jill Scott's Golden as theirs. They start singing together. I'm taking my freedom, pulling it off the shelf, putting it on my chain, wearing it around my neck. And only stop when Nico, who has been watching their goofy gloriousness, starts clapping as they launch into living my life like it's golden, 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 golden.
You do have to say we don't have moves to go with our Eternal Flame. We really might want to think about that.
Yes.
Melina and Risa take Allison's car so she can talk with Nico. He lets her know that he wanted to say goodbye to her before she left. He's headed to San Ducci for a few weeks, and she'll likely be gone by the time he returns. She asks him, can you wait so I can go with you after my girls leave? Nico looks at her with hope in his eyes. Do you want to meet the rest of my family? She lightly rests her hands on his shoulders, saying, that depends. Am I still the reason behind your smile? His face lights up. More than ever. Wait. Does that mean you took the job here? Suddenly, a look of panic flashes across Allison's face. She has not yet taken the job here. Yet! Allison pulls out her phone. Shit! Dr. DeGrado meets the board in 30 minutes. I've got to get there now! Nico rushes over to the Vespa he came in on, and it's like... He presses over to his Vespa and is like, let's go. And just like Tamara, Allison says, hell no, I'm not getting on that death trap. Where's your truck? But the truck was being used for farm business, so she has no choice. But to Vespa, much to her chagrin. Allison makes it to the school alive and rushes into the board meeting, apologizing and stating, I want the job. Not only is using English properly important, but learning how to express yourself with it can change lives. And I want to help the students here do that. And more than anything, I want to stay here, teach here, because I can't imagine doing it anywhere else. Dr. DeGrado's thrilled. Great! He addresses the board. Who here would like Dr. Cooper to continue teaching creative writing for? He looks at Allison. How long do you intend on staying here? Allison pauses a beat before saying, indefinitely. And he nods to the table of people. Everyone agrees. They want Dr. Cooper to stay. And Allison leaves the room ecstatic and happily gives Nico, who is waiting out front, the news. And they kiss, and it's a good smooch. When Risa and Melina arrive at the villa, waiting on the front steps is Andre. Good man. We wrap with all three couples, Allison and Nico, Melina and Lucas, and Risa and Andre gathering for a beautiful outdoor meal while Allison muses about the nature of friendship. Being a good girlfriend over the years takes understanding, letting go, and a lot of accepting your friends for who they are and supporting them in the decisions they make. It's not always easy, but along the journey I've learned there is pure magic in the bond we call sisterhood. Yay! Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, golden.
Living my life like it's golden, living my life like it's golden, golden.
Corinne, how many dry kisses do you give the unthinkably good things?
Okay, I think that this is breaking Hallmark territory.
Mm-hmm.
I give this 4 dry kisses.
Wow.
I thought it had a lot of different interesting topics. It did have a bit more strife in it than I prefer in a sweet little Hallmark movie. I was like, oh no, more shit's hitting the fan. Oh no, more shit's hitting the fan. Oh no, more shit is hitting the fan. But I enjoyed their journeys, and I thought they were both unique in their own ways, and I love me some good bestie action. So, 4 dry kisses. What about you?
And I am here for the shit, and I love the shit, and I love when the shit gets deep. I'm giving it 4.5 dry kisses.
Ooh.
I like the conflict. I like the mahogany writing. I thought it was very well done. I liked the independent separate storylines. Every single girl had their own arc and their own interests and their own personality, which was nice. Like, you knew that Risa was the scattered one. You knew that Melina was like the one that had the cancer scare and the then she was just like self-conscious about everything. And then Allison was the maternal one who had everything going for her. I'm not going to down half a dry kiss because that goddamn villain Italy still gets him a crop. That's just me. Don't take it personally that I am not giving it 5 dry kisses because of that damn building that I'm just like drooling over all kinds. But yeah, no, I enjoyed this movie immensely. It's one of the Hallmark movies that I think that's probably in my top 10 now. So yeah, 4.5 dry kisses. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yay. And what movie do we have coming up for our final movie in Freedom July?
I was originally going to do Waiting to Exhale, but we were too much on a, oh my God, a bunch of friends going through a bunch of shit kick. And I'm like, let's just change. Let's switch gears. Let's switch gears. So we're not doing Waiting to Exhale. We are actually going to do Hope Floats.
Ooh, nice.
A lesser known Sandra Bullock movie that I happen to love, but I think I'm a fan of most of Sandra Bullock's movies. So excited to do this one.
Yes, very excited about this one. And we will be doing Waiting to Exhale in the future, though, because it...
Right.
It deserves some One Dry Kiss love, is all I'm saying.
Yes, and at least a couple of weeks to write that shit out, because a lot is going on in that goddamn movie.
I know! I was like, I told Tam, because I was like, you know what? I'll do the movies for the month of July, cause, so you can catch up on some things, because you had a lot of different stuff going on in June. And she's like, thank you. And so I do 9 to 5, Three Women. I do Dumplin', which actually still has a lot of kind of different peripheral friend action going on, even though it's focused on one, but it's not an... It's not a simple, it's a love story. No, there's a lot of different things going on. And then we do Unthinkably Good Things and Three Women with all their three different stories again. And I'm like, I can't do Waiting to Exhale. I'm sorry, Tam. It's not that I don't want to do the movie. It's just I can't script out another like beefy boy like that one.
I just did three women going through their own separate journeys, and you want me to do four women going through their own separate journeys? Fuck you. Okay, I'll do something else then. That's fine. That's fine.
I was like, I will do extra Christmas movies. I'm totally cool with that. Give you some extra time in August. So if you have anything that you would like to say about our upcoming pick of Hope Floats, Unthinkably Good Things that we just did, The Mahogany Line in Hallmark, or anything else, you can email us at wondrykiss@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us via the social medias on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at wondrykiss.
And that's one spelled O-N-E, and as always, if you can find the time to rate and review us anytime or anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. But in the meantime, thank you for stopping by, and we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah. See you next time.
See you next time.
Living my life like it's golden. 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 Golden. Girl, if I could get some new boobies, I would too. Shit. A little higher, a little tighter. A lot higher, a little tighter.
They're all like, up to here.
I can lay my chin on them. Oh, I don't even need a pillow anymore. So comfortable. Look, I don't even need like a phone holder. I just set them in my cleavage and walk around. I can still FaceTime you.
You're gonna be amazing.
Oomph, oomph, oomph. All detected. Oomph, oomph. All detected. Oomph, oomph, oomph.